Hey, this is Michelle, and you're listening to Words with Michelle, the podcast, a show where I sit down and have conversations with influencers on a range of topics, anything from natural hair, employment, discrimination, food, relationships, and everything in between. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. If you want to send me an email, hit me up at michelle@wordsmichelle.com. Thanks for tuning into the latest episode of Words with Michelle, the podcast. This is my 50th show. For this milestone show, I thought I'd tackle a topic that's near and dear to my heart, natural hair. I've been natural for about 20 years, and I absolutely love it. My hair has been chemically straightened, or permed, or relaxed, but wearing it in its natural form feels like the best version of myself. I will let you know that I did struggle with my hair over the years. I bounced from salon to salon looking for some help. Luckily, I was able to educate myself on my hair care journey on YouTube, on going to natural hair blogs, and just talking to with other naturals. What I've recently learned is that styling and caring for afro and curly hair is not addressed in beauty schools. The curriculum addresses the needs of people with straight hair or Eurocentric hair, but black hair or textured hair is not taught in depth. So a few years ago, I attended a networking event and I met Takiya Prentice Cupid, also known as TK. We barely spoke, but something told me that I needed to add her to my contacts. Flash forward to life in the pandemic when everyone is on lockdown and at home. I remember catching TK providing her natural hair knowledge and conducting tutorials for other stylists that needed education on natural hair, as well as to non-hair stylists that wanted to learn. I wanted to learn how to cornrow, so I logged on to her session, loved it, so much so that it was a no-brainer to bring her on the show as the expert for this topic. So for today's topic, I will be speaking with Takiya, and she'll be speaking about her hair mission to build Afro and curly hair education in Canada with her company, Textured Hair EDU. Thanks for being on the show. Takiya starts off the episode with telling us a bit about her.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is TK, and I am a licensed hairstylist as well as the founder of Textured Hair EDU. So Textured Hair EDU is tackling a huge mission to build curly and Afro hair education in Canada. And our goal is to open a school that will teach the full spectrum of curls from wavy to tight curled, which is something that is not available in Canada yet. So I've been dedicated to that mission and in the interim have hosted workshops, events, keynote speaking engagements, different things to spread the message. And I've been very fortunate to be featured on different media platforms where I share my story and also to really recognize that this need is very important. So it's an honor to do this work and I'm excited every journey and step of the way.
Before we got deep into the topic, I wanted to ask TK if she struggled with her hair.
So I currently still struggle with my
hair. Oh, that's funny.
My hair is, I like to think that my hair is kind of like me. It's very unpredictable and it makes its own rules. So my hair struggles have been a journey. And I guess I didn't really struggle to accept my hair per se, because I know that that's a struggle that a lot of people have. But for me, I've been natural my whole life.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I stop you right there. So you've never had a relaxer, never perm.
Never experienced. No.
You're a lucky woman.
Thank you. And you know what's crazy? After like seeing my hair change throughout the years, I don't think my hair would have been able to handle a relaxer anyway. So because it's naturally really fine. And okay. I have a sensitive scalp, so I feel like those combinations are not the best for relaxed hair.
I never met anyone who didn't have a perm before. You're so lucky. I went through the struggle. I had the hairline burnt out. Yeah, that's why I went natural, because my hair fell right out. Like the hairline just fell out. So, oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry that happened to you. Yeah, for my mom literally asked me one day, she's like, do you want, because her hairstylist recommended that I turn 13 before doing the relaxer. because I would have like a proper balanced hormone system and whatever to
Oh,
handle it.
okay. Mm-hmm.
And she asked me when I was 13, she was like, "Do you want to do this?" And I'm like, "No, because you spend hours in the salon." And she's like, "Well, I don't want to do your hair anymore, so you have to figure it out." And then that's literally what inspired me to become a hairstylist. I started doing my hair myself, and had to learn. And I would do different styles, and people be like, "Oh my God, who did your hair?" And I was like, "I did." And then after that kind of started my journey. But it was saying no to relaxers that got me on the journey of becoming a natural
No.
hairstylist.
That is
It's
awesome.
really amazing. Thank you.
It's so funny because your mom said, because the same thing with me at 13, my mom said, okay, that's when you're gonna start perming your hair. So she had her friend come over to our house and perm my hair. And I was the
Yeah.
happiest person. I was happy and disappointed. I was happy
Oh.
because it seemed like it was more manageable. And then disappointed because I'm like, it didn't look the way I wanted it to look. Like
Right.
this, you know, that's usually what you feel like. Because I did have hair issues when I was younger. But okay, great. So you didn't have
And
to
it
struggle with
kind
your.
of, sorry, one more point. It kind of felt like for Black women, that was like a coming of age. Like when you
Yep.
would let your hair relax, it was like you becoming a woman. And so for the longest part, I didn't, like, I wasn't encouraged to feel like I was becoming a woman because my hair was natural. So I would be seen as like juvenile or like, "Oh, you're not mature because you don't have straight hair."
Oh.
Like that, yeah, that's a huge stigma.
I thought that was an interesting perception of natural hair. I then followed up this point by asking TK how natural hair is addressed in beauty school. You said before in the beginning, like so natural hair is not part of the beauty school or hair school, like it's part of the education.
Not in Canada, at least.
Okay, so then how would black hairstylists do it then? Like how would you learn the ins and outs of doing hair? Because it
Good
can't be just
question.
what we know. It can't be just because we have hair on our head, because it took me, I ain't got 30 plus years to figure out how to do my own hair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because I, after my mom stopped doing my hair, I had to figure it out. Actually, I figured it out as an adult because I was permed, and then I had to because of the fallout, I had to start doing my own natural hair. So it isn't until like recently that I went natural. So then, where do you learn? How do you
Yeah,
learn?
100%. So that's really good. And I guess the best way to answer that is to kind of break it down into what the system offers and then how Black stylists come to learn how to do natural hair. So the system itself does not offer any training in curly and afro hair. So when I went through beauty school, it was based on a Eurocentric standard. So I learned how to cut, style, color, all on the premise of doing that on straight hair or doing it for a straight hair type. When it came to curly and afro hair training, they showed us how to identify it. So they showed us how to identify different curl patterns. Like when we learned, like the first intro course was teaching you about texture. So you learned about the different textures that existed. So you had straight, wavy, curly, and coily. And it showed the scientific makeup of it and why hair starts to curl and bind. Not necessarily why, but what it looks like on a microscopic level. And then it went on, we went on to like working with mannequins and stuff. But the problem was that the mannequins that were provided were all straight hair mannequins. And then when it came down to doing the curly hair course, so they had like a very short curly hair course. I'm still thankful that they had one at least, but it basically taught you how to do a curly cut and how to do a highlight on curls.
Oh,
But
okay.
in order to learn that, we first had to perm the mannequin to a curl pattern and then do it. So it wasn't really showing you the true texture of what curly hair is. It's like this is we had to alter the texture of the mannequin to make it curly before we learned how to do those things. So it wasn't really realistic because it didn't really show you how a product could affect someone with curly hair. Like, how does this product impact a tight coil versus a wavy curl? So different things like that. And then, so that was what was offered. And then when you are complete your train completed your training, you learn the foundations of cutting, color, and the basics of hairstyling, but it's all done under a Eurocentric standard. So you're being taught that on a particular hair type. And like even down to the cutting structures, the cutting is done on straight hair, or you're learning how it impacts straight hair, not really how it impacts curly and afro hair. So that's what was offered in training. And then the expectation is that when you're done that training, you apply for your hairstyling license. And then that's how you get it. So when people do that program, they go to hairstyling school, they get the hours, then they work in a salon for maybe 1 to 2 years, and then to get their apprenticeship hours. And then after that, you're supposed to write a test. You can work in any salon that has like a mentorship program that can take you in and train you. At least in Ontario, that's how it's done. It's different throughout Canada. And then after that's done, you write your licensing test, and that's it. And they'll probably ask you 1 or 2 questions about curly hair. And then when you pass, you're licensed and you're recognized as a licensed hairstylist. But if you want to go deeper and learn about curly and afro hair, you have to be either mentored by somebody that teaches you that, or you have to work in like a black salon, which is what the path that I chose. So I kind of did it all over the place. Like when I was on that journey, I was doing hair, but I was working in black salons. So it taught me a lot about how to cut and how to understand like the hair's relationship to water and products and stuff. And then when I went to hair school, I already knew how to do hair from what I was doing in the salons, but it was teaching me more of like the breakdown of those things, like why are certain chemicals not good for the hair, or what is the reactions that can happen from chemicals and stuff like that. So that's really what it taught me. But in terms of the skill to do curly hair, I had to gain that hands-on.
I can't
So
believe it.
long story short.
I asked TK what prompted her to start the training of textured hair EDU.
It was funny because I was seeing everything happening and waiting for somebody to do something about it. And I knew this gap that I kind of mentioned in my mission existed. Like it's kind of weird because when you look at it, you can see that, okay, there's services for Black people, there's services for white people, and so on. But systematically, what does that look like? What is the expectation? So the expectation is that when you go to somebody, when you have curly or tight curled hair, you're going to someone that has the experience working with your hair. You don't necessarily know what comes with that. You don't know what training they've done. You just know that you've seen your hair type being done, so you go there. But nobody really knows that, a lot of people don't really know that people are not being taught in from beauty school how to work with curly and afro hair. And I knew that that existed, especially in my experience as a Black person going to beauty school and seeing that like my hair type wasn't even discussed or taught. But I just sat kind of behind the scenes waiting for someone to do something. And then it wasn't until George Floyd pa died and Breonna Taylor during the pandemic that I started to see people have conversations about this gap that existed in the beauty industry. And people were like, Black Lives Matter, and everybody's hair should be represented, and everybody should be able to get services for their hair type. And then I was like, okay, now the world is ready for what I have to say. And then before I even started, I just asked questions. I asked people that I knew because I developed connections with different hairstylists, like internationally. And I asked them, I'm like, what were you taught in beauty school? Were you taught how to do black hair? Do you know how to do black hair? Do you feel confident in that hair type? And most of the people that signed said they were never taught how to do it in school. And if they were taught, it was like 1% of the people that signed my petition. So I was like, okay, this is clearly a problem because Like, why is this not happening? So then I went in and I reached out to the ministry for licensing and to see if that's something that they would consider offering, and was ignored several times. And then when I
Oh,
finally got an answer, the answer I received was that unfortunately this is not something that we are planning to offer. So I was like, okay. And it was really discouraging because I wanted, help. I wanted somebody to like help me figure out how to get this done. But it seemed like all the doors were kind of closing. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna do it myself. And I started the business, and I started with the knowledge that I gained and really trying to simplify it so that when people were learning, it didn't feel like, oh, it's so distant, like it's something that you can't grasp. And I started out with a virtual class, and then people did the class, and just the fact that people felt like they could leave and then do those services right after, I was like, okay, clearly this my teaching style is working. And people were like leaving doing silk presses on 4C hair, and I'm like, what? You never even knew how to do 4C hair. And then it advanced, and I started to do cutting classes and stuff. And just the way the stylist would light up and just feel like, oh my God, someone was able to explain this to me. And I would go to Stratford, Kitchener, Ontario, Mississauga, Etobicoke, all over the place to teach people, and it really empowered them, and it really created community because it showed that, you know what, Black people, for someone who's non-Black, are not so distant. Like, we can be connected because I feel more confident to actually work with your hair.
So,
So,
sorry, can I stop you for a second? This brings up a good point. So, the people you were teaching are the majority of the people not Black?
majority are not Black.
Oh,
And
wow.
then the smaller percentage of people that we teach are people in the community that need help with their own hair. But
Okay.
the real people we're trying to reach are the hairstylists. We're trying to reach the hairstylists and the beauty businesses
Yeah.
because they are the people that
True.
people will go to get their hair done. And especially as the Black population and the BIPOC population is kind of spreading throughout Canada, people are not staying so local to the GTA. People are coming out, and they need places to go. Because I even have, I'm thankful for it, but I even have people that come from Ottawa, Cambridge, to get their hair done, and I'm thankful. But if a salon in Cambridge who takes my training or is trained in curly and Afro hair can offer services for them, it's gonna just make things so much more accessible.
Yeah, wow. Someone's coming from Ottawa to get the hair done.
Yep. She comes like every 3 months.
Oh my God. That's dedication. That is
Yes.
dedication.
She doesn't want
Maybe.
anybody else in her head.
Oh my God. Yeah, well, I get that. I mean, like, we do have a special bond with their hairstylist. So that I
Yeah.
totally get. You know what? After someone's done it for a couple of years, you're like, nope, that's it. You're that person. So my stylist
Exactly.
knows that. She kind of knows that. Serious.
Yeah.
So you can, but what was like developing the curriculum? Like how What was it a daunting task? Did you find it really hard? How did you go about that?
So when I first came to like curriculum development, I really wanted to make something really thorough and detailed because in the beginning of my journey, I was planning to work with the Ministry of Education, right?
Okay.
So it's kind of shifted more presently into 3 courses that I offer. So my curriculum is based on, I have an intro session about understanding hair types and the needs of different hair types. And then I offer a cutting course, a braiding course, and a bridal course, and like editorial hairstyling course. So that's kind of how I've broken it down now. But when I open my school, I plan to actually have a more in-depth curriculum because my services will be expanding from out of one day events into like a 16-week program.
Okay.
So yeah, the curriculum is evolving, I would say, as my business kind of grows.
So then actually I should ask you, so the training isn't done like Is it done in-house, or is it like, do you go to certain organizations and do it there, or do it one-on-one? Like, how's your training happen? How's it occur?
Good question. So currently it's being offered like within businesses, so a business will hire me, or if I'm running my own events, I will just book a space and have a day, like a workshop for one day, and it'll teach me the braiding and stuff like that.
Actually, I did see one of your training sessions when you did during the pandemic. I actually, I can't remember what it was, cane roll. I can't remember.
Yes.
I cannot cane roll to save my life. So,
You're
I
not alone.
yeah, it's hard. It's like I mean, you see, I'm wearing extensions right now, right? So I can't do my hair. I mean, I can do my natural hair. Like, I can definitely do like a twist out, and whatever. But when it comes to cane roll, can't do it. Can't do a flat twist. Can't do any of that. So, I may need some help.
I'm hoping to bring that back this year, but honestly, with funding, it's not the easiest. I'll keep you posted when I have another one. That one was basically sold out. It was very successful. Yeah, it was a good class.
Oh, wow, nice. Do you see natural hair being more accepted nowadays? Since because we always mark George Floyd. Every time I do podcasts, I realize whenever I'm speaking about an issue, like a black an issue within our community, BIPOC community, we also mention George Floyd. And that's a good thing, because I feel like it was pivotal, right? Do you feel like there has been a shift since then? Do you think, or is it still the same?
I feel like there's been a shift in the community around it, like the community of stylists. Whether it's stylists that don't have the skills to do it, they really want to find places to teach them. Like they're in a way, they're very desperate to learn. And then also there's more stylists that are kind of niching down to focus on curly and afro hair services, that already have the skills. And then there's also people kind of developing their own training programs, which to me it's great, but I do find that it's limited too, because you're taught one kind of method in tackling a curly cut or whatever the case may be. But it's still something, you know, like at least it's still offering a method of learning for people. So things are definitely shifting, but when it comes down to the system itself, it's not changed. It's still very outdated, and it hasn't been updated to be more inclusive. So as much as the community itself really wants change and is doing its best to create change, the people that administer licensing for hairstylists, that system is very much the same.
Oh, it hasn't changed.
Based on Eurocentric hair dressing.
So you do this. So you seem like you have a lot of hats. So you seem like you do a lot of things. Like, you obviously do the training and you do hair as well. Do you see a lot more your clients? What would you say would be some of the styles that they're doing? Is it more, are they keeping up with the natural, or are they doing the process? Like, are they doing everything?
So first and foremost, I'm finding a lot more people are seeking salon services now, like people with natural hair, because for a while people were more hesitant to seek a hairdresser's, like a to seek a relationship with a hairdresser. A lot of people would just do hair themselves. But I'm finding a lot more people are seeking service, like my services also. And the services that I do offer, a large part of it is that people come to me for color. Color is color is my specialty, and it's what a lot of people seek me for. So depending on their hair type, I color locks and I color like tight curls and loose curls. So that's what a lot of people come to me for. And then when it comes to like the natural hair care, they more so take care of that on their own. I just give them some pointers on what to do. But I do find there's also still a large amount of people that don't know what to do. They don't know where to start. So then they'll come to me to kind of guide them and like do their maintenance appointments, like their haircut and stuff like that. So
So I'm wondering why there's such a mystery, because there really is a mystery. Like, I only learned how to do my hair through YouTube and going to our website. So I'm kind of shocked now. I mean, no, I'm shocked, but I'm like, How come we, because it is such a mystery. We have to learn how to do our own hair. We it's such a
Yeah.
process.
Because there isn't serve like there's not serve enough service providers for us. There's like in Toronto, we're blessed. There are a lot of shops that have opened for natural hairstyling, and it's really actually amazing. But for the larger scale of Canada, this is not the case. A lot of people are done wrong. A lot of people, they have the expectation that a salon is going to cater to them, and when they show up, they really don't understand our hair and its needs. So it's still very much a gamble when people are going into a salon to get their hair done. They don't know what they're going to get. They don't know the reaction they're going to get. And then on top of that, there are a lot of salons now that are kind of shifting in not offering the full hair care package, like washing, detangling, and styling. A lot of places you go to, you have to go with your hair already blow dried.
Yeah.
So it can be a headache trying to find a place to go to get your hair done. So a lot of people are encouraged to do their hair themselves, which it's sad, but also I find that it's a really cool thing about, the Black community. We're very innovative when it comes to our hair. But we also should have places to go that make us feel safe and cater to our needs. I love what I do. It hasn't been easy, kind of finding that this is the path that was really intended for me, but I'm so thankful that I did because, the more that I do this work, the more I'm understanding how much of a need there is for what I offer, whether that is me as a hairstylist or me as a trainer. And it's an honor every step of the way to be able to show up and teach somebody something new. Lately, what's been happening too, I'm noticing is I've been invited to do speaking engagements and trainings for like schools. And because with more diversity and inclusion demands, people are advocating for natural hair education in those spaces. So it's created room for me to come in and really empower people with natural hair about the possibilities with their hair and how to take care of it. So every step of this journey is new and different and exciting and challenging, but it's truly a blessing, and I'm so thankful that instead of just watching everything happen after George Floyd and just sitting down, I'm glad that I actually was like, you know what? I'm gonna do something about this. And it does suck that the gatekeepers that are able to get me further are, kind of shutting their doors. But I know that once I create the platform, then they will have no other choice but
Yeah, I believe
to
that you're gonna
work
get
with
it
me.
done. I believe you are. Like
know?
honestly, just to know from where you started from to where you are right now, it's outstanding. Like
I love what TK is trying to do with her training. So I wanted to ask if the training would lead to licenses like other beauty schools, if students will be fully licensed afterwards.
And the unfortunate part is that because when I do open my school, it's not really going to be recognized as a it's not going to be recognized as licensable, if that's the word I could use.
Oh, are you
Yeah,
serious?
so basically, yeah, because I've basically spoken to them and they kind of gave me a game plan on how to do it, but it's gonna be like an apprenticeship program, so it's gonna
Okay.
be something extra people have to take after going to hair school. But even then, I'm still gonna find a way to make it a
Yeah.
professional beauty school. Like, but at least I know what steps to take, and at least it will be something that's offered. And you know what? It's still great because even hairstylists that, because I've taught people that have had 30, 40 years experience,
Wow.
and they still are eager to learn. So it's gonna be an opportunity for people that already have had their license for a long time to still get additional training. And I think having it as something that's 16 weeks long, it's enough time to get people, get their education nourished and built so that they get the practice and everything they need to go out there and make it happen and continue to grow and continue to learn. But it's my little way of making an impact, even if it's not going to be recognized to the standard that it should.
But it's okay. I mean, like you said, it's the first step. And then also I feel like people are going to go to it anyways, because there's a need. Obviously there's a need. There's a market. People are going to want to learn how to do it, you know, to widen their market, right?
Yeah.
So widen their services. So I can't see it as being, it will lead to something else. I definitely know that. Just wrap up. I want to thank you again for spending, you know, your afternoon with me. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
How can we contact you? How can we get a hold of you if you want to speak to you?
Absolutely. So the best way is to visit my website, which is texturedhairedu.com. My contact is there. You can, when you enter your contact information, I will respond. I promise. yeah. And you can also stay connected with me on Instagram and TikTok. So on Instagram, it's TK Loves Hair. The same on TikTok, and then Textured Hair EDU on Instagram as well.
It was a pleasure speaking about hair with TK. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thanks for joining me for the latest episode of Words with Michelle, the podcast. If you enjoy the podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on Apple Podcasts. Just a reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you have any questions or would like to provide feedback, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can email me at michelle@wordswithmichelle.com. You can also email me if you have inquiries regarding sponsoring the show. Thanks for listening. Until next time, bye.